This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Frisco?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Good evening and welcome to On the Tee, Florida. Two pros and a hack in the entertainment gallery. Two members of the entertainment gallery, of course, Tom Gribben. Man of the people. I told you I was going to change your introduction. Of course, St. Petersburg's most interesting man, but man of the people. And, of course, Patty Suzette, she's the lady of the people. She's our cart girl. And Bill Buttner, the...
he's not here. You don't need to
introduce him. He's ghosting us. He's ghosting us. There's a cocktail right there at his empty seat. He's ghosted us tonight.
Yeah. The two most important people of the entertainment squad are here.
That's all that matters tonight.
We're here to represent you.
And we had a great... Entertainment week, thanks to Tom Gribben.
That was amazing.
Saturday night, we celebrated his birthday down at Katiki on Sunset Beach before they got hit with the weather this week.
And it was a beautiful night that night.
That was a wonderful evening.
It was so much fun. I had friends out. We all had such a good time.
The gods of weather cooperated with you. It had rained the night before and in the morning, and the number of people, and I mean this in all sincerity, as a man of the people, from Titans in business to saltwater hippies. I think that's kind of the range of the people that that love your music, but also love you, my friend. And it was a wonderful evening. I felt honored to be invited again.
Well, you know, everybody tries to get me to go to a bigger place because that place is too small. But what I like every year to do it is to make sure that people don't have to pay a cover charge. And so to do it in a place where people can pack and they can put an extra bar out in the parking lot if they want to. And I like it that way.
And the ambiance, and it was great. So we've got a great show, of course, on this January 11th. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. We got some exciting things coming around the pike with Ice Pick and Fred Forsley, and of course, Sea Dogs Brewery. That's his location over there in Sunset Beach, as well as Shipyard Brewing, and they have locations all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. That's getting pounded right now with snow, and someone that's not getting pounded with snow though is our good friend John Rager up there in St. Augustine Beach. He's one of the other pros. He's a man of many talents, and blessed to have him each and every week as we cover the PGA. We'll talk PGA this week. We'll talk a little Dubai Invitational, and we'll also talk the Sony Open. We're gonna have Adam Woodward. He's the expert Golf Week assistant editor. He'll join us to talk about the 2024 season as it teed off last week at the Century. And then, of course, we're going to talk. You may not be around at that point, but at 6:15, we're going to talk to my good friend Mark Egley up in Iowa. I want him to give us a weather report. Have you seen what's going on in the state of Iowa?
I can't wait to hear about that.
I want him to take a picture and send it to us ahead of time of his driving range and see what it looks like.
Even the corn is hiding.
Oh, the corn, everybody. My God. I've been watching it off and on because, of course, the political ramifications that take place in Des Moines. And every time I see it, I don't miss it for a second.
Well, it's an exciting time of year politically in Iowa.
Des Moines, downtown Des Moines is crazy.
Caucus day. -2 is the high.
I know.
On caucus day.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sure they're not going to be flocking now.
I can tell you where they'll be flocking to. When I lived there, they flocked. All this national, worldwide media come. And they flocked to the hotels and the bars downtown. And it is a big deal for these proprietors. And you can go to any of these bars. And I didn't drink in those days. But I'd always go just to hobnob and maybe rub elbows with someone that I might have liked their work in the world of radio or television. And So it's the center point, my state of Iowa. Hey, by the way, Saturday night, did you like, in honor of you, the hat that I wore?
I like that, yeah.
I might have to get you one.
I like that. I also like the yellow on the T-shirt. Where'd you get that?
I had them made. You want one of those?
Oh, yeah, large.
You like that color?
I like that color a lot.
And well, it'll look a lot better on you than it does my carcass, I can tell
you. It looked good on you. I was going like, who's that guy? It's Mike.
Hey, and our cart girl, Patty, I've got... I got to bring that down to you. I do have something for you, but this isn't the weather temperatures that you want to wear it.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what this is.
Well, the people watching CNN are going to be excited, too. Hey, John Rager, before I digress, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Hey, it's great. Hello, Tom. Hello, Patty. Hello, Mike. How are we doing today?
Good, honey.
We're doing excellent. And you've got to carry the bucket, as you usually do, on the side of the pro world, because Bill Butner is at St. Pete Country Club, where he's been for 21 years with Wine and Nine. And
wine
we called
and
him. Yeah, we called him, and he was whining, actually, that he'd forgotten about it. So he might be here in the second half. It probably depends on how much wine he does drink. But there's a nice pick vodka.
It's here in spirit for him.
It's here in spirit for him. So how are you, brother?
Hey, doing great. You know, that Bill Butner, he's got it made there. You know, when you do the Wine and Nine and Nine, that's the ladies beginning golf.
He's sitting next to at the cart, girl. Are you kidding me?
I'm just pointing out that I was also not invited to the Wine and Nine, so.
Yeah, exactly. And let him know that. I know that I'm not allowed on the grounds over there, but you certainly would be.
I'm so curious about that story.
Well, I was a card jockey at one time. Anyway, a lot going on in the world of golf. I guess, you know, when you take a look at the Sony Invitational, John, you look at the leaderboard, and it's kind of curious. Last week we had some of the world's greatest golfers. And this week, you know, it's a who's who of nice golfers. Zach Johnson, who's a previous Sony Invitational winner, he's having a nice round. But there's not a whole lot. If you're on the surface type golf fan, you're not going to recognize a lot of the names. But if you go to the Dubai Invitational across the Atlantic, Rory McIlroy's on top after shooting a sizzling 62 today.
Well, you know, later on the broadcast, about 6:45, we'll do the John Rager report, and this week it's going to be on what these players have to go through. Some of the players who've got their PGA Tour cards in the school this past fall couldn't get into this tournament. They had to go back to the Monday qualifying for this tournament. And so there's a great – when I do research for my report, there's this great source out there. It's on X. It's called Monday Q Info, and they cover Monday qualifiers better than anybody. You know, if our listeners out there, you know, Monday qualifying for the PGA Tour, you know, that's inside baseball. You got to really be an avid golfer maybe to follow it. But there's some unbelievable stories out there. And so we're going to cover that in the John Ray report later. But, yeah, you're right. The Sony Open, it's a full field event, but they don't have a lot of even the younger players that get in the tournament because you still have a lot of the veterans who are playing in this event. In fact, the PGA Tour had a orientation this weekend, and if you were a rookie on the PGA Tour, you had to fly to Hawaii to do orientation, and the tour thought there'd be plenty of spots for everybody to play in the Sony Open, but a lot of the veterans decided to jump in there and take advantage of that, and they had to literally pay all that money, fly to Hawaii, do the PGA Tour orientation all afternoon, not be able to play a practice round for the Monday qualifier, and most of them had to fly back home. Yeah, you talked about, there's been about 15, 20 grand.
On their own dime, which is ludicrous, the disparity now that's taking place in the world of golf from that perspective.
Well, there is something that lessens the blow, though. This is the first year that the PGA Tour guarantees all those folks 500 grand. So you get your tour card, you're guaranteed 500 grand. So that means that you know, at the end of the year, if you end up not winning 500 grand and you are a little short, but, you know, so all their travel expenses are going to be covered. So it's not that big of a deal. But at the same time,
some were bitching about it. I saw that. So essentially, that $500,000 is a draw against commissions, if you will, or, you know, performance, right?
Right. And then later on, when we do the John Rager report, we'll talk about some of the unbelievable stories that went on in the Monday qualifying over there for the Sony Open. But yes, the leaderboard right now, if we're going to take a look at it, who's sponsoring our leaderboard this week, Mike?
Ice Pick Vodka and our good friends at Michelob Ultra. Chris Lewis and I have a meeting tomorrow, and we're going to solidify our 2024 agreement with some exciting new interactive monthly opportunities for people to play on our simulators. Of course, we're continuing through the end of the month. Leagues start February. You and I will be launching those. But it's still BOGO. I've got some guys coming tonight when we get done the show. By 1 hour, get the second one free. So Michelob Ultra stepping up to the plate again in 2024. And we're blessed to have that relationship with Chris Lewis, someone that I know you know well. Tom, I may or may not have dropped your name. I would say probably did drop your name.
I hope it helped.
It did, of course. And the fact that they pour beer here helps a lot. But I want to say that it's because of the talent that I'm surrounded by.
I would like to say
absolutely.
That,
absolutely. Hey, but anyway, let's just take a quick look at that leaderboard. And if we're going down the list here, we always have to cover the leader. That's Taylor Montgomery, the United States. He's 6 under par. He jumped down to fourth place. Chris Kirk is 4 under. So if you're talking about someone who just won last week, you know, you shot like 785 under par. I mean, it's unbelievable in that tournament last week over at in Maui where the Century Open, where if you didn't shoot at least 20 under par, you weren't even in the top 20 of the tournament. So Chris Kirk's there, minus four. And for our listeners out there, just so you know, the Sony Open is played at the Wailea Country Club, and it's the longest continuous golf tournament played at a golf course other than, like, Augusta National. They've hosted this event since 1965, and it's got its signature hole where if you look online, especially if you track our social media out there from the Tee Florida, you'll see there was a report that we did on this last year, and it shows the signature trees. You know, you have four of these trees, and they form a W, you know, behind the 17th hole. That's their signature hole out there. You can't miss it. So it's looking like it's going to be a very competitive tournament. Hey, the scores might be, you know, going way down. If you look at, you go down the list, you know, since we always talk about Iowa, Zach Johnson's in the top 10. He's minus two. He's having a great tournament.
He's gained a stroke since I looked. Yeah, as I said, he's a previous owner of a trophy, previous winner. And I wanted to ask you and Butner, but I just as soon talk to you right now. He's not saying much tonight. You know, it's amazing guys that have won on a track, and their games may not be where they, you know, where they should be, or they've lost it. But when they come back to a place where they've had success. Would you say that there's a pattern that they do outperform where their game is at this stage in their careers? And it certainly,
well, there's an expression out there, Mike. It's called horses for courses, okay? And what happens is you look at, like, Bubba Watson. You know, he just about owns the TPC Connecticut up there where they, you know, they play the Travelers Insurance. He's won that, like, 3 or 4 times. Tiger absolutely... his own Bay Hill. I think he's won there 8 times in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But if you start looking at different players, different parts of the country, there are horses for courses. There are players that play the West Coast swing very, very well. You know, you've got the different type of grasses on the West Coast. Then you get them to fly across to the East Coast and for the Florida swing, and it's all Bermuda grass, and the greens are greeny. And they can't putt. They have a hard time. So, yeah, there are horses for courses, and especially if you've got somebody who won the tournament in the past, it seems like if they stay on that same golf course, no matter what age they're at, if they're a defending champ, they're gonna have a good shot at it. But yes, regional differences make a huge difference in the game of golf. You know, where in other sports like football, baseball, soccer, you've got, you know, basically you have the same playing field. You might have a little bit different weather. I hear that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be at -5. Windchill or -10 windchill when they play their playoff game. But golf itself, every golf course is different.
Miami Dolphins, you're going to enjoy that.
Oh, my God. I've been to Arrowhead in those temperatures back in the day.
You know, we do deviate the sports a little bit. Is that the one that you have to go buy a subscription to Peacock to watch it? Is that the playoff game that they selected for that?
Kansas City, that is correct.
Which is ridiculous. They did the same thing last weekend too. This is a super wild card weekend, and there's so many people that can't afford those subscriptions, but that's the future and that's where we are. But it's sad. It's good for Ferg Sports Bar and Grill because we'll have it, and we've got 105 televisions. So if you're listening and you want to watch some great football, come on down to Ferg's
and grab a Michelob Light and belly up to, and it'll be nice and warm here.
Exactly. Yeah, Arrowhead is brutal. I'll tell you right now. Well, you just got back from Kansas City.
It was definitely not snowing, but it was also not warm.
And it's dreary looking.
It's very dreary.
That's why I prayed for snow when I was in South Dakota and Iowa. I'm like, I don't want to see dirt.
So I was with my family and we were getting ready to drive to go visit my brother, and he was 3.5 hours away. Oh. And I was getting ready, and my sister-in-law gave me these little like electronic hand warmers, and my brother got me a blanket, and then they got me a heated vest, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they know. They just know. I can't handle the cold even in a heated car. Like,
she's become a Florida girl.
I am so Florida.
Congratulations. Bravo.
I've been here for 20 plus years and my blood is like
my
water.
Wimpy old ass is the same way when I got up there, trust me. So sorry, John. Hey, I do want, you were talking about leaderboard and you were talking to Chris Kirk. I do want to talk about him. He shot 29 under last week and to win by one stroke. But and I like to see Jordan Spieth start out hot. But what a story, you know, and he speaks now, and he's quite open about his battles with alcoholism, and you know how comfortable he is in his own skin now, and it's great to see him, and here he is having success again today.
You know, it is a wonderful story. Then, in fact, while we are still on the football gig, there's a couple new celebrity golfers that'll be hitting the links. I'm not sure if they're going to be playing at Pebble Beach or not, the big pro am. But it's Lou Saban and Bill Belichick. They're going to be available to play some celebrity golf now.
Actually, Saban's not a bad stick, and it's amazing. But Saban's not a bad stick,
and he'll take part. He'll participate.
Oh yeah,
I think Belichick's going to be working on his new job, but Saban's ready.
I think you're absolutely right, Tom Gribben.
You talk about the Pebble Beach tournament. We'll get to that down the road, you know, extensively, but I was just reading up on it here, and they changed the format. You know, it's a signature event, and so they did away with the amateurs playing with the pros except for maybe a couple days of the tournament earlier in the week, and there's not going to be any cut of amateurs and playing on Sunday and that kind of stuff. And you know what? That's one of the tournaments that, you know, I always enjoyed watching. You know, I also like to watch the celebrity tournament out of Lake Tahoe, the American Century tournament. It's just fun to see people out there playing golf and having a good time. And, you know, they're from different fields, walks of life. In fact, you know, I hear Aaron Rodgers is going to be available for a lot of celebrity golf, too, coming up. So it's just been a wild, wacky week in football. But if you look at the Pebble Beach, they made it an elevated signature type event. So, you know, now there's 20 million in the pot, and they're not going to play with the amateurs only just a little bit. Just kind of ruined the whole thing, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. That was one of the key elements.
Favorites.
Yeah.
So you're telling me right now that Carl Spackler, Bill Murray, is not going to be participating, and the reason I brought that up because I want to take you got your cocktails in front of you.
Charles Barkley,
you got your cocktails in front of you. John, we need to do a toast to Lacey Underall. From the great movie, the cinematic classic, Caddyshack. The actress Cindy Morgan passed away at 63 years young. So here's to Lacey Underall, one of the classic. You haven't seen it, obviously.
I have. I actually recently saw the second one.
No.
Yeah, it was definitely not the first one.
The first one.
Toast to
Lacey Underall.
Lacey Underall.
The name, though, it gets me. I'm like, they didn't
well,
start with that
well, Lacey Underall, just say she got around the guys that hung around the links, from the pros to the caddies.
So what do you call that? Because I know cleat chasers are the girls who go after baseball guys, and I think
there's got to be a name for that.
What is the name for the girls who go after professional golfers?
You know, like baseball annies. You know what?
Yeah.
What do you call them? Well, let's ask John.
Sluts?
No. Oh, come on.
Radio edit.
I don't. You know, in the band.
You call them one night stands, is what you call them.
Yeah, that's not what Tiger called them.
There's a term for
waitresses.
There's a term for girls who chase after surfers too, but I couldn't imagine that having a long run either. So.
No. But I know, you know, with the band, it was groupies.
Yeah,
and there's baseball annies. And so what?
And cleat chasers.
What do you call golf?
We might have to create that if it doesn't exist.
No, I'm sure.
It's got to be.
I'm sure we can. You know, you're right. You can probably Google that up.
I'm Googling it.
I'm surprised John doesn't
checkbook
know that.
Chasers.
Well, this is a family show, everybody. So, you know, I'll DM you guys what they're called.
Yeah. I think we lost that.
I haven't told you guys
weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't told you guys. I get warnings every week, but I don't ever pass them on because I don't want us to lose our humor.
What
here.
Warnings from who?
Hey, before we do this toast, Patty. Uh-huh. Hey, before we do this toast to Lacey Edwards, you must have to watch the first Caddyshack. The second one,
I have to watch it again. I haven't seen it in
the
years.
Second one. You need to forget it totally. In fact, if you got it on a CD, throw it in the fireplace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you must have done something. Electricity.
okay.
I know why tigers eat their young.
The man, the legend, Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, let's do a toast to this. I've got a story about Caddyshack after we do the toast.
The jury's in. The jury's in.
So there's two different answers for this. The players, they have a name for it. These women is what they're calling them, but it's the PGA or Party Groupie Association.
If there you go.
And apparently caddies are the ones who make the contacts, but another is called, they're called Gallery Girls.
Gallery Girls, right.
Yeah, that
I
makes
have
sense.
Heard that, okay. Yes, okay.
Well, Lynn Strickler.
Trivia for the day.
We've had him on before because he's the accomplished caddy, worldwide caddy, and he lives up in Clearwater. He's been on. We've had to mute his mic a million times. But he's told me stories over some ice pick vodkas about being on the bag, like, I'll just say, dozen guys that he happened to be on the bag for.
That guy's a wild guy.
Oh, he is.
Oh, Lord.
I'm telling you, he had a column, though, in Sports Illustrated. The guy's the real deal.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to edit him live.
That's why
FCC.
That's why I don't have him on.
He's talking about the warnings.
That's why I don't have him on very often.
It does say.
Now, I'm gonna say this as clean as possible, okay? But do you know what PGA stands for? It stands for the P word, golf and alcohol.
Oh. I was like, where is this?
Okay,
going?
All right.
FCC.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mr. FCC is going to probably send me an email in the morning.
Yeah.
We're getting away from
it. I always thought it stood for parking.
Exactly. But Gallery Girls, that's
gallery
what we're going
girls.
With.
Yeah.
But Lynn Strickler said that his pros, you know, and these guys were young and they were single and just getting out of, and I'm not going to name the
some
names.
Some of them were,
yeah. That I guess that wasn't.
That works with football players, too.
Yeah, it wasn't a requirement. However, he said if they noticed somebody in the gallery, he was told to go over and tell him to meet him after the round. And I know
the caddies did all the lifting.
And I know, and I heard this in the locker room at a champions event from several pros, and they were laughing about the guy. He used to have his caddies line somebody up at the turn for a little enjoyment. I'll leave it at that.
I was gonna say you looked like you had to think about how to censor that.
I did. I just said a little enjoyment.
Jeez.
Maybe a kiss.
Before we go out to number 10, you go in. Nice.
Way to let off steam, I guess.
I was going to say.
All right.
Well, I could tell you some stories about the stage.
Oh, I'm sure. Those run a lot deeper.
You're on the stage. You can see the whole
first
gallery
time
in front
Tom's
of
mic
you.
Gets muted.
You can just see everybody, and they're waving. So, you know, you get
and they're throwing things at you.
You get one of the roadies and go over there in the
pink. It's not Mardi Gras beads.
Yeah.
Over there.
They're throwing articles of clothing. That's all I can say.
I once tossed my pants at a band, but I was very young. So yeah, I was 18.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Oh my God!
I hate to admit it, but
my ex-wife didn't. I was with her.
The whole band
sounded like Rodney Dangerfield.
Had I known that, I would have been waiting last Saturday.
The whole band signed my pants and gave them back. I loved those pants.
Okie dokie. We're also about to, and I'm. We might need some in a minute. Liquid Drip. Of course, Sean Knight and Island Products. Liquid Drip is also a supporter of us. It's the THC-infused, delightful orange and black cherry. And I tell you what, it's flying off the shelves down here at Ferg's. I watched a game the other night. A guy next to me took five home. He was drinking regular cocktails, and he pounded one. I go, buddy, have you ever had those? No, but I go, you need to stop. I said, I'm warning you. I said, I kind of helped promote it in the area. I said, you don't pound those after you've had five cocktails.
They go down so easy. It's just like a seltzer, but they taste better, and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, he said, I saw him 2 days later. He said, I went home, and I melted into my couch. I said, all right, partner.
That was nice of you to warn him, because that would have been really awkward to melt at the bar.
Hey, John.
I mean, I'll have one of those with Patty, but I don't know if I want to drink one with you.
No. I have to drink one by myself in my place and hide the keys and whatever, because I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Adam Woodward. We'll get back to the serious world of golf. We'll have some more fun with some memories of Lacey Underall and maybe some personal stories that John Rager has witnessed with Lacey Underalls of the world. He's been out there, too. We'll be back on the Tee Florida live from Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Stay tuned.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing a 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, the far-out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack, 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water at St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back on the Tee Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios and second show of 2024. Time's already flying, man. John Rager, of course, up there on St. Augustine Beach. Bill Butner is ghosting us right now. He said he'd be here in the second hour. Those are our two pros.
He's on his way.
And we're blessed to have Tom Gribben and Patty Suzette. Kerry McNally is preparing for his evening show. We'll do a little plug for that a little bit later on. And he's doing a superb job. But we're very fortunate to have developed a relationship with this young man, Adam Woodard, of course, Golf Week magazine. He's kind enough to share from time to time his insights on the world of golf. What's going on, my friend?
Happy New Year, everybody. Good to be back. Excited to talk about some golf, actually. Guys actually hitting golf balls and not just a bunch of millionaires playing in golf's future. I'm excited. This is fun.
Where are you at? You at home or are you on the road?
I am at home. First trip of the year coming up. We'll be out at the Farmers Insurance Open later this month, and then the next week after, heading over to Mayakoba for the live golf season over. So, you're getting it from both sides of the aisle here with me, guys.
You're pulling double duty, and of course, you're going to the Farmers Insurance. Well, you got things in common. Farmers Insurance, where John Rahm has had success, they're at La Jolla, and you'll be at the LIV, and you'll be seeing John Rahm as well. Things changed dramatically in the course of 1 year in the world of PGA golf and the professional golf. I guess we're going to have to. There'll be a worldwide umbrella, I'm sure, sometime down the road, the next few years. But for now, separate entities. But you're going to see John Rahm, his footprint on both of them.
You have to see John Rahm in shorts.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, I thought it would be interesting to see. I wish we knew a little bit more about, what team he was going to be on and all that. It's going to, live kind of going to the 11th hour here. They kind of interesting to hear. We haven't really heard much on that front since it happened, such a big move. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all looks and how he does in his first live event. And I think it'll be interesting to be down there and check it all out firsthand, that's for sure.
Adam, wouldn't it make sense for him to be on Sergio's team?
I don't know. I think, you know, Sergio, you know, he's got the ownership in his team. I'm assuming John would want the ownership for his own team is the way I would see it. I'm assuming he's going to end up taking over the Cliques, which was formerly Martin Keimer's team. They've got one position open right now, if I'm not mistaken. Or if they can potentially get some more guys to sign here at the end, John might get his own brand new team. We've seen a bunch of rumors and stuff online about that, and he was pretty coy about it when we talked to him the night that he made his decision and that it was announced. So we still really don't know, so it's all kind of up in the air. I think at this point, probably more likely that he takes over an existing live team. But, you know, I know obviously him and Sergio have a good relationship there, but as far as the ownership goes, John's going to want his own team, and Sergio's really put his mark on his fireball. So I'd be shocked if that were to happen.
Well, you know, Adam, since we're talking about live golf out there, I was thinking about so far the leading money winner 2024 is obviously Ashley Perez, as she's filed for divorce from Pat Perez on Live Golf. And so, she, you know, I don't know how much did he sign for with Live Golf? What was his deal?
I don't know how much he signed for, but I did have to write about that the other day. Wish we didn't have to really write about guys, you know, personal lives, but unfortunately, that's part of the job here. And time to time, I think he's made about $14 million. In the last 2 years with Liv, a lot of that coming from the team bonuses that they got last year, or 2 years ago, I'm sorry, with the four aces when they went and, you know, won the majority of the events and then won the team championship. In that first year with Liv, you know, that money went right back to the guys, but now, or the team money, the winnings go to the team to fund their, the other people that they've signed, to go to their GMs, to go to their player payments, to go to their physios, their social media people that they have. So it's to cover team costs, travel, stuff like that. So Pat definitely cashed in on that quite early with his time with the four aces. And yeah, so we'll see what happens.
I was watching an interview yesterday with Pat McAfee and Phil Mickelson on ESPN. And, you know, Pat McAfee, mm-hmm. obviously he's kind of a wild and wacky guy out there from a, you know, commentating standpoint. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he's not really a big time golfer, but he and Phil actually had a wonderful interview about Live Golf talking about the future of it and trying to get these organizations together. And I've seen you've been writing a little bit about Rory, and his tone has changed towards Live Golf, obviously, once they have John Rahm on the Ryder Cup team. Yeah, what do you make of all that?
I have to push back on the one thing. His tone has not changed on Live Golf. His tone against Live is still, he doesn't like Live. He doesn't understand it. I think his tone has definitely changed with regard to, you know, foreign money being involved in the PGA Tour. I think that's where his tone has definitely changed. You know, he said it. He had a very, using his own words, an altruistic view of how things were going. And he's kind of realized, like, look, all right, if the Saudi money's going to have to be involved, at least we can be in control of how it's spent the right way. And I know he said instead of giving it to players for these multi-million dollar deals, he said, how about investing in grassroots campaigns? So people are actually growing the game and not just using that as a tagline to support their claims for what they're trying to do. But I think it's interesting, and I think it takes a lot of maturity for Rory to come out and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I've stopped to think about this, and my opinion has changed, and I'm gonna talk openly about it. But going back to what you had said originally about, you know, Pat and Phil talking together, I mean, Phil's ever the optimist. He's been saying that things were going to be great with Liv from the start, and he's been proven to be right in a lot of ways. Still kind of really shoots from the hip, which is why I love Phil, and he's definitely wrong in a lot of the things that he said too. But he's been ever the optimist with Liv, and he seems to think that it's still going to be around. And he had said that big players were going to join. John Rahm was one that's joined since Phil had made those claims back in Doral at their team championship in October. We'll see if they get some more here in the next couple of weeks at the last minute. Similar to, I don't know if you guys remember when Thomas Peters joined about a week before last year. But we'll see if they can get somebody else. But it's definitely an interesting time in golf. And, you know, it seems like we're getting closer and closer to some sort of unified effort with this strategic sports group.
Oh, you know, Saudi Arabia, even Jack Nicklaus has weighed in a semi-positive way.
For sure, yeah.
His latest comments were, you know, more like Rory's, in the sense that they hope it's probably good for golf if they can figure a way forward.
Yeah, and like, you know, the plans for a global tour, all that sounds great, but just how do you put it in practice, right? There are so many different sides that are going to have to make concessions. It's going to be fewer LIV events if LIV stays around. Guys are going to have to play fewer PGA Tour events to keep their cards just because they're not going to be able to do everything. There's only so many weeks in a year, and there's only so much time that they can do all this. So it's going to take a lot more discussion, but I definitely am more optimistic about the future of golf than I was a few months ago, that's for sure.
Hey, Adam, shifting gears here, you know, on the T4, our listeners out there, yeah, they love to listen to the inside baseball, the X's and O's. They certainly are avid golfers, but they're also fun-loving folks. And even we don't even call ourselves broadcasters. We call ourselves a cast of characters out there. And so one of the great articles you just put out there was the 14 best Nike ads and commercials featuring Tiger Woods. As our listeners know, if they don't know, Tiger's no longer endorsing Nike. So what's up with all that?
Yeah, so, you know, Nike's been going through some changes. You know, they've noticed a downturn in sales, and, you know, this is all out there in different, you know, market research and all that, but they're planning to make cuts across the board over the next 5 years. And I think the relationship just came to an end, right? I don't have any real inside reporting on that other than the fact that, you know, Nike's, you know, they're starting to pull out of a lot of their athlete sponsorship. We're seeing that happen across the board.
The contract was a natural termination. I mean, it just ran out, so.
For sure.
Whether
yeah, and it's
re-up or not.
Yeah, it's not like it was Tiger leaving to go do something else right away, or it's not like Nike was fed up with Tiger. It ran its course, right? They had an incredibly successful sponsorship for 27 years that created some incredible commercials, and I'll tell you what, it didn't take me much time to have to research any of those. So a lot of those I remembered right off the bat. Tiger's been such an integral part of Nike when it comes to their golf campaign, even after they stopped making clubs, you know, what was it, 10 or so years ago now at this point, maybe a little bit more. He's still been a massive, massive part of their brand when it comes to golf and the polos. I mean, when you think of Tiger in red, it's always got the Nikes in the white Nike swoosh and the red top. You know, that's as American as apple pie, right?
That's his Sunday shirt, right? Yeah.
Exactly, right? So it was an incredibly important partnership, but I think they're both kind of going their own ways, and Nike's trying to figure out how to stay profitable, you know, in an ever-changing market. And you know, whatever Tiger's going to do, he's going to be successful at it because Tiger has maximized his brand better than almost any other athlete ever has in the world and may ever do, you know, maybe Michael Jordan, you know, aside, Jordan. Those two are up there when it comes to marketing their brands and who they are. And he's successful in everything that he does. So whatever he ends up doing next, I'm sure it'll be not as much as success as Nike, but I'd say pretty close.
Well, Adam, earlier in the show, we were a golf show, a football show broke out, and we were talking about the availability now of Lou Sabre and Bill Belichick to be able to go play some celebrity golf, and now we're bummed out to find out that Pebble Beach is an elevated event, signature event, and they're not going to have the likes of Bill Murray or any of these football coaches or anybody in the tournament. The amateurs are all going to be like athletes, and they're only going to play a couple days earlier. I understand the evolution of the tour and, you know, these signature events and stuff like that. But it seems like, yeah, that they just kind of lost the whole charm of the whole remnants of whatever the Crosby clam bake used to be out there at Pebble Beach. Yeah, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, you know, I've been out to Pebble before. I've been lucky enough to make that trip. I feel like every person who loves golf at least needs to make a pilgrimage to go have a couple drinks on the patio and watch people come in, even if it's not the pros. It's just such a beautiful place, and it's one of the more, you know, unique courses here that we have in the States. And it's a beautiful property, and you're right. They are kind of losing some of that allure of what makes, you know, Pebble Beach and what makes the AT&T Pro-Am the AT&T Pro-Am, going back to the Crosby Clam Bake, like you said earlier. But at the same point, if you look at the people who were showing up at Pebble over the last few years, it hasn't been the heavy hitters. They've lost a lot of the top talent going out there just because a lot of these guys don't want to have to put up with all of the shtick of the amateurs and all that. It's not their cup of tea. They want to take it a bit more seriously. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see this year with it being an elevated event. If these elevated or signature events, excuse me, I always get tripped up on which word that's done. It's been three different things now at this point. With these signature events, it'll be interesting to see if they rotate those, and that if maybe, you know, next year in 2 years, for example, if Pebble Beach isn't a elevated or signature event, if maybe they get more of the amateurs to come back and play for the full weekend again. I think I would like to see that. I am one of those guys who kind of like seeing Bill Murray get out there and do his thing. I think it adds something different. We have so many golf tournaments throughout the year that they all kind of, you know, weave in together. I like having these kind of different ones, whether it's a match play event, whether it's a pro-am event like this. So, bummed we won't get to see Coach Saban or Coach Belichick there, but I bet we'll see both of them out at the Tahoe event, where it's a bit more fun. So, hoping we get to see them there, because Coach Saban's got a pretty good swing. I wrote about him yesterday. He's got some game. I got to give him that. He's got some serious game.
Yeah, and he'll I guarantee you he'll be in Lake Tahoe this year and have a huge audience that will be supporting him. Hey, let's go back to Roy McIlroy. You know, he said he wanted to focus this year, and he certainly proved it today, shooting a 62 over there in Dubai.
Yeah, I think earlier in the week he said he came out. This is going to be more of a relaxed way to start off his season, getting kind of easing into it. And he really didn't ease into anything today. He had just about every shot in the bag cooking. I didn't get to see a lot of it live, but I watched a lot of the highlights, saw how he played. If he can keep this up and if he can start off this hot early, 2024 could be a big year for Rory. Like you said, you know, he wants to focus a little bit more. He had to spend so much time and energy the last 2 years being on the PGA Tour policy board and basically being on the front lines for their tour in this battle against LIV Golf and the Saudis. So for him to be able to just fully focus on golf now, I think it could be a really interesting time for Rory. And if he's going to start playing this, he's always played pretty well whenever they go to the Middle East on the DP World Tour. He's always, you know, seemed to play well with his game over there. Hopefully it travels over the States, because I think Rory, you know, having a big year would be really good for the PGA Tour this year. He wants that Grand Slam. He really wants that Grand Slam. And, he needs to, you know, get his game into form earlier rather than later, if he wants to be able to do that at Augusta. So I'm bullish on what he could do this year. I think it could be a really big year, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, what he does with his time now, and if he keeps being as active and as vocal as he has been, even though he really doesn't have anything to make decisions now that he's not on the PGA Tour policy board.
Vegas has
Adam. I was just go ahead, Mike.
Vegas now has him as the favorite to win the Masters.
I love hearing that. Absolutely love hearing that. I've been picking Rory to win the Masters, you know, for the last 10 years, because I'm going to be right one of these times. I just know it. There's no way he doesn't win it. So I'm playing the long game on that one, boys. I'm playing the long game.
Hey, for our listeners out there, if you go to golfweek.usatoday.com, you can see all Adam's articles out there. And something brought to my attention here. In your profile, it says that you're an avid three-putter. And so this week, I guess Will Zalatoris is coming back on tour, who probably had documented maybe one of the worst putting strokes of all time, but now he's doing the looks like the Justin Rose method there, you know, with the long putter and not anchoring it, but use the fulcrum. Are you doing any of that stuff with your putting, or how are you going to get out of becoming an avid three putter?
Well, see, that's the thing. As I sit here in my apartment, I'm looking at my putting mat and thinking, wow, I really shouldn't three putt as much as I do with that thing sitting right there. I might have to, because my stroke gets a little figure 80, a little Zalatoris-y, if you will, from time to time. But I usually square it up pretty well. It's just, you know, racing it past the hole or leaving it, you know, criminally short. But yeah, I definitely do have to work on that. But, you know, if anybody can relate to the three putting, it's your boy here, that's for sure.
Have you tried any of the aim point methods? I know that, you know, we talked about that on our show in the past. I even put a link up there and a report on it one show about the aim point method and how you do it and this, that, and the other. It seems like there's just a ton of tour pros that are doing it. Have you tried the aim point method?
So it's funny you say that. You know, recently, you know, with, you know, we're getting ready for 2024, everyone's kind of pitching their own ideas and the stuff that they want to do, travel schedules and all that. And one of the stories that I want to do this year is I want someone to show me how to aim point, because I've heard people talk about it, right? You know, when we're at the hotel bars, when you're out and about, you know, you see people out on the road, you ask them, you know, we know coaches. I know what it is, and I know the gist of how to do it. But just doing it in practice, I kind of want to test it out and see what it would look like. I'm fascinated by that. The way that guys will go to get any sort of advantage out there just absolutely fascinates me, and how much research these guys do, the little things that they do in their practice or in their preparation. That's the kind of stuff that really fascinates me. Those are the stories I really like to write about. So it's funny you should bring that up, but I definitely want to check out Aimpoint. And like you said, it might be able to help out my three-putting, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Adam, I'm going to send you a link on YouTube about the aim plate method. I'm going to send you a link. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. What you got?
Tom Gribben across from me, he has a green in his backyard. And Adam, you said you'd love to get down here sometime. I'll get you tickets to a Rays game. We'll have Rager come down from St. Augustine Beach. You got Bill Butner here. You'll have undivided attention of two pros. Patty the Cart Girl will provide you with cocktails and any legal advice. Tom Gribben will provide you with that, as well as unlimited time to work on your putting stroke.
Yeah, come on out. Use my putting green. And hey, bring your checkbook.
Yeah, three putter.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give legal advice too, but I wouldn't follow it.
I'll take anything that I can get. And yeah, when I come down for that Rays game, I'll make sure to have my Andy Sodenstein jersey on, ready to go.
Yeah, you do. What's your team? Are you an Indians fan?
Guardians. We don't say it.
I know. I digress. Every time I do my other show, I get chastised for that. The Guardians.
Mike, for Pete's sake, in his bio, it says he's the pride of Wadsworth, Ohio. My goodness.
Well, I know. That's why I said, I know Cleveland. You think your brownies can get a win this weekend?
If they do, the city's going to keep burning down. It's been incredible to see. If they can keep figuring out how to do this, how funny is it that Joe Flacco got arrested in week 18 after not playing for half the season? That's how crazy this NFL season's been. But I was lucky enough to be there when the Cavs won the title and when they had the parade, million people downtown. It was insane. A bunch of people were saying that's, one of the biggest moments in Cleveland history, and it was, for LeBron to come back and bring a title there. But if the Browns can somehow get to a Super Bowl or win one, like, that is a football town. It is going to be absolute mayhem up there.
It's a great story, but Joe Flacco's not taking you to the promised land this year in Vegas.
That defense might.
Yeah, they got a hell of a defense. Tom's right there.
I don't think anyone's going to get it confused that Joe Flacco's not taking him anywhere. It's going to be the running game and the defense that takes him anywhere. But Joe's going to be along for the ride, though, that's for sure.
Hey, it's no different than, like, when Trent Dilfer, took the Ravens to the Super Bowl, and won it. Absolutely. They had a great defense. All he had to do was not throw interceptions and turn the ball over, and they were in like Flint.
And yeah, make a play every once in a while, and Joe Flacco can do that, I mean, I'm not putting money on him, but he has a good chance.
Absolutely, yeah. And what I hate is when, people throw around the phrase game manager as if it's a negative thing. Oh, so you're going to tell me my quarterback's not going to turn the ball over and he's going to just methodically move the offense down the field? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that every day.
If it's going to be any year, it will be this year, because there's no team really stands out. I mean, even the 49ers, which is sort of the class of the league, they had their big, vacant spot in the middle of there, three, they lost three in a row. So you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about, the NFL is the parody of it. And the whole any given Sunday line is overused, but it's also true at the same point. That's why it's overused. These guys are all professionals, the peak of what they do. And it's exciting to see when you get teams, like the Dolphins popping back up again. Sure, they have their moments, but it's exciting to see when teams like that come out of nowhere. The Texans this year, my Lord, how fun have they been to see? It's been an awesome time for the NFL. Your Buccaneers down there, that division, wow, we could have a whole other segment talking about
they
that.
Can win. They can beat Philadelphia Monday and be right in the thick of it with Cleveland. And you never know. One of these teams might have to play a game in the 0-degree weather.
Miami Dolphins. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
It changes everything.
The Dolphins' colors just don't look good in snow. They just don't. It's not
they match the snow.
Bad luck.
Not Arrowheaded, two below. I can assure you, I've been.
They're gonna have to break out the orange jerseys or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
God, geez,
yeah.
Adam.
No, they make the visitors wear white. The home team can choose, so they'll choose the red.
He's Adam Woodward with golf with golf world, but I'm golfing. I'm telling you right now, you could absolutely be a reporter for USA Today in their football section, my man.
Especially, Cleveland division.
Yeah, but before I started covering golf full time in 2019 for the company, I was with I was on the sports side doing a little bit of everything. So I got a little bit game everywhere.
You're a utility player for the entity, right?
Hey, you know what, Adam? Sorry? All those baseball players and all those football players, they all play golf. So you're right in a good spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fun to get to talk about it so we even play with some of them because I'm better than them. And it's like the one sport that I know I'm better than I'm at, you know?
Hey, do you get to go out to Lake Tahoe?
I've never been, but it's on my list of places that we want to do. They don't not a whole lot of media really gets out there. There's not a whole lot of access with a lot of the celebrities and stuff, so it kind of kills the incentive for us to get out there too much. But I would just want to go see it just as a fan and just kind of take it all in. It seems like it's a great time. It's obviously a beautiful part of the country, but no, haven't gotten across that one off the bucket list just yet.
Hey, you know what we'll have to do is we'll have to channel our inner George Plimpton. You remember he wrote the book, the Paper Tiger, you know, and he Paper Lion, he imitated a pro football player training camp, wrote a book about it. We're going to get you to be a celebrity reporter, and we're going to sneak you into the tournament.
I'm down. Or we just do a boys trip out there. one of the two.
Well, Adam, I certainly appreciate you taking time. It's always so informative. You are a consummate pro, and I'll thank Lance Ringler for hooking us up with you. Have you talked to Lance lately?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit earlier today, actually. It's funny enough. Yeah, he's a heck of a guy, and I'm so glad he hooked us up with you guys. It's always fun coming on and talking with you guys. Even got a little NFL talk in there, a little bit of baseball talk. I love it. I love we branch out and do a little more than golf. It's always fun.
Well, I tell you, I got a Saturday morning show, and I might be giving you a ring one of these days to get your insight, because I've got another young man that's about as sharp as you, Alex Reba, and he is a Cleveland Guardian fan, Cleveland Cavalier fan. His family's from there. You two could have a little Cleveland love fest, the dog pound.
Day night is, but yeah, let me know.
Hey, Adam, tell our listeners out there how we find you out there. What's the best way to find you out there on the web and online and all that?
Yeah, Adam Woodard, WOODARD on social media out there, and then, you know, just keep going to Golf Week for all the stuff that we've got. You know, we've got, you know, great columnist Naaman Lynch, the other Adam Shupak, that helps me cover the PGA Tour. I kind of do a lot of the live golf stuff. Cameron Jordan does a lot of our college and amateur coverage. Beth Ann Nichols, the best LPGA reporter that's out there right now. Go down to Golf Week, check out all of our stuff there. It's going to be a crazy 2024 with everything happening in golf. And, you know, we're going to be all over it.
Well, we do have a small dog pound down here at Ferg's Sports Bar where there's 104 televisions. And I'll be pulling for your dogs on this weekend. So
this dog pound down here is loud, too. They're little but mighty.
Yeah, very loud.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always a good time, and I can't wait till the next time.
All right. Have a great weekend, my man.
Take care. Thank you.
You bet. That's a versatile, young, talented journalist, huh?
He covered everything.
Hey, you got time for the cocktail of the week? You want until we come back?
I sure do, actually.
We only got 2 minutes. You want to wait till we come back?
Yeah, let's wait till we.
Let's do that. Let's give it the justice and the time that you that you put into it. And John Rager, second hour. We're going to do the John Rager report. We're going to talk to our good friend Mark Egli about 6:15. He's going to give us a weather report from balmy Des Moines.
Yeah, back we'll. We'll incorporate that into Wild Bill's golf weather report there, brought to you by Yank and Crank. I can tell you that now it's finally got to be cold and snowy up there in Iowa. We can't listen to Mark talk about how he's getting all this bonus climate change weather up there.
Yeah, because he certainly isn't right now. The entire country is going to be frozen this weekend. And, of course, we got the caucuses up there where it'll be a balmy 2 below on Monday. So they'll have to be pretty brave and pretty committed to want to go out and caucus, if you will. We'll be back.
Can they do that on Zoom?
What's that?
We'll see you after the top of the hour.
Sound good. That's John Baker. We'll be back on the T-Florida live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.